Let's go to 1 John. First John 2, verse 14, I think. I'll tell you in a minute. I gotta find it now. This is me finding 1 John.
Humble rabbi.
San John is a capital of Puerto Rico. San Juan is the same thing.
Yeah, isn't that special?
Huh?
Really, that's really impressive. Boy.
You went straight to 1 John?
No.
We were talking about San Juan.
San Juan is the capital of Puerto Rico, and it's St. John.
Yeah. Wow. I'm impressed.
That makes him really special.
Oh, yeah.
We're Uno One now.
Remember we studied... We last time we met, we studied 1 John 1:1 through 2:17. And we're going to look at... We're going to start at 2:18, all right? This was written almost 2,000 years ago, right? Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The word anti, as you well know, doesn't mean against. It's not a translation, it's a transliteration of the Greek word anti, which means instead of. The word many there is the Greek word which means almost all, like a humongous majority.
99.
Little children, it's the last time, and as you've heard, that Antichrist, or the instead of Christ, shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. What we take for granted, i.e. that in us the man of sin has been revealed and is now without excuse, is unknown in the world. You understand that? The fact that you are the Antichrist is unknown in the world system. The thing that all of Christianity is searching for you know. Now, the situation, the deal is that you know it, but you don't believe it. You do not yet believe that your mind is the Antichrist. Until time has passed, you go through something and you give credence to a situation and your belief system and your senses observe a situation and you make judgments about it and you go with that judgment. Until finally, by the grace of God, something takes place and you say, oh shit, I'm the Antichrist. I shouldn't pay any attention to all that. Now here's the next part. This is a biggie. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Who's he talking about? It's directly, when this was written, it didn't have verses. This is one paragraph, and it's talking about the Antichrists. The Antichrist, the mind of the Antichrist, the identity of the Antichrist, cannot stay here. There's nothing here for him. As Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and there he has nothing in me. Now the question is, if your mind reverts to, or if your persona reverts to the judgments of the mind, then you too will leave, as sure as night follows day. There's ever and always, you're always living on that knife edge. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now that's one of the most arrogant things in the Bible. You can't transfer your letter. Look around you. These are the people that you will spend eternity with. In verse 20, but you have an unction. Does everybody know what an unction is?
No.
That's function without the F. No. No. The unction, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You better look at this one real carefully. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things.
Oh, it would be an anointing.
Yeah, but it's wilder than the word anointing. The word anointing in the Hebrew is Hamashiach. The word Christ in the Hebrew is Hamashiach. If this were in Hebrew, it would say, you have a Christ from the Holy One, and you know all things. Or you have the Christ from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now you don't yet know that you know. The word know there means not just to know about, it means to be mixed with, to totally understand all things. That's why on the radio, if your priest, your rabbi, can answer every question that you have, fire him. He has no business being a priest or a rabbi or a minister. You, not somebody else, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know, you understand, you have been mixed with. In fact, you have been part of all things from the beginning. Can you understand or a little bit of that?
It's really hard.
Okay, go to Ephesians. You remember what you have an unction. You have a Christ from the Holy One. Ephesians chapter 1.
What is that?
It's right, just
1042.
Ephesians 1. I'm going to say some stuff that I've never said before anywhere tonight. Starting verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. There has never been a situation in your family. There has never been the smallest gene, the smallest chromosome in any one of your descendants that has not been chosen by God. There has not been anything happened to anyone in your history, genetic history. No environmental experience, no educational, no tragedy, no gene pool phenomenon that hasn't been chosen in him so that you would reach this time. You are the top of a genetic pyramid. The top of an environmental pyramid that goes back all the way to Adam and Eve. You were chosen in him before the world was formed. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have been mixed. You have been a part of all things. Just a little bit. Okay, go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 54 and 55 are the fruit of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 was the suffering servant. Isaiah 54 is why that suffering was necessary. What will happen as a result of it. Let's look at 54:17 as an example. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, it's a bad translation. It should say, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord whose rightness is of me. The instant that you now, the only reason you don't know that you know, the only reason you do not understand all things, the only reason that you don't know that you were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world, the only reason you don't perceive with every muscle and nerve of your being that there is a thing taking place in you that is so far greater than anything in the world, that everything in the world just looks like dust, is that you still are trying to establish your own rightness. The instant you stop that, then every promise in here is manifested in you. Now watch. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in a fatness or abundance. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, the word sure there means the confirmed, or the guaranteed, or the... It's something that's got a money-back guarantee. I mean, it's your heritage is this confirmed or guaranteed mercies of David. What are the mercies of David? Christ. Now this probably isn't making any sense to you yet, or it just sounds like some religious mumbo-jumbo, but trust me. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shalt run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, that's you. Your way is wicked, no matter what you do about it. Your thoughts are unrighteous, no matter how good you think. You forsake your way and your thought, and the mystery takes place. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now I want you to notice something very carefully. It's first talking about the word. And it says, it shall not go out, the word that goes out of my mouth shall not return unto me void or vain or empty, but it shall accomplish that purpose for which I sent it. And then it's got a conjunction. The conjunction is for. For you shall go out with joy. The word and you are synonymous. You understand? You have been shot out. It's taken all of time to get you to this point. In your gene structure, in your environment, in everything. You were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world, and you now are the word of God manifested in the flesh. And you shall accomplish that for which he spoke you into existence from before the foundation of the world. Do you understand a little bit? The only way you will begin this is to begin to see the way he sees, to confess with what he confesses, that the scales will be removed from your eyes. What happens if you lost this? Let's go to 2 Kings. I'll show you something.
Really?
What?
This is Bible World Tour.
Verse 13. The whole Syrian armies is surrounding Elijah and a few people. Right? 7,000 of them, if you remember the 7,000 and all that. In verse 14. Therefore sent he there, the king of Syria, sent there horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city round about. Now, the city, I think it's Jerusalem, but I can't remember. But anyway, it's all right.
But the point is, there were the Talmud says there were like 180,000 Syrians surrounding Elijah and these 7,000 men. See? You got it? You got the picture? Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God here that's speaking is Elisha. When the servant of the man of God was risen early, I mean, they did this at night, right? 180,000 Syrians surrounded 7,000 Jews. And the servant had a small bladder. And he had to get up real early.
His name
is Rick Elijah. And so he's out tiptoeing through the tulips, trying to find a safe place to let it fly. And he and the sun is just rising. And he looks up. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth.
You're so bad.
What?
Too bad.
Behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. Again, Talmud says 180,000.
I was just imagining standing there.
Holy
oh my God.
And his servant said, alas. I think this is probably cleaned up.
Oh, yeah, very much.
Alas, how shall we do? And Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. There's just a few like us, right? There's 180,000 surrounding us. And Elijah prayed. He didn't pray. The only thing he prayed for, and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, open his servant's eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they prayed, well, anyway, then it went on, and the Syrians got smoted. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you could open your eyes and see those same horses and chariots are there. In fact, I'll even say something greater. You, in the spirit, were in those chariots and horses when Elijah opened his servant's eyes. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. So all you have to do is open your eyes. Now, either this is total and complete BS, and you better just get out of here running, or you better start seeing what it is you're about. Now, go to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And that's where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know not, and the way you know. Excuse me. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can you say that we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my father also. And from henceforth you know him, and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it would suffice us. You remember that from the Passover? Haggadah? Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and you have not yet known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself or from myself, but I speak, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sakes. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, that's pretty big time right there. I mean, Christ went around, and everything, I mean, raising dead, feeding 5,000, getting money out of fishes' mouths, walking on the water, calming the storms. And it says, greater works than these shall you do. But I want you to see something else. Paul said in Colossians that Christ was the creator, that he himself created this world. You understand me? The world was created by him and for him and for his good pleasure. He was the instrument of the creation of this world. Greater works than these shall you do. Am I really gone off the deep end?
Am I hearing you right?
We created the world.
Yeah. I mean,
it says greater than what you see.
Greater, yeah, that's what I thought.
Greater than this shall you do. Greater works than anything. I didn't make this up. It says it right here.
It's never been
there before. Yeah.
Greater works than these shall you do.
Greater works than the creation of all space and time.
That's right.
How could that be? I mean, what else is there to do?
I'm glad you asked that.
Excellent question, my dear.
Only Daryl would answer tons of stuff. Only you. You're the only person in this room.
Doug would have had a smart little response.
Now, Doug is like, well, why don't you tell him somebody may not understand?
Yeah, that's right.
For those of us, only you don't understand.
That's right.
Go to John 5, verse 17. Well, before you do that, keep your finger there. Go back to 1 John a minute. 1 John 4.
Chapter 4.
1 John 4, something like that. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Okay? Now back to John 5, verse 17. Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do? Now, we've talked about this 100,000 times, but Jesus didn't have an internalized TV set. And he saw and then did. He just saw. Now, how did he see? How did Jesus accomplish what he did? And what does it mean to you? Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And yet he abode. You are in the exact same position that Christ was at some point in his life. Some of you are very close to still Christ still crapping in his pants, but the point is, you're still there. Am I communicating at all? That you can never be anything but what he is. And you must come to the position that Jesus just spoke of. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, that he doeth. Perfect unity. Never again the slightest hint of separation. Everything that has taken place thus far in your genetic history and your life history has brought you to the point where you can even hear what I'm saying to you. Not many people can hear this. What has happened to you is you're slowly beginning to learn to see. We'll look at it in a minute, but in 1 John it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You understand? Now, you're not just hanging around here, and you weren't just chosen in him from before the foundation of the world so you could hang around. There's something taking place within you that is so monumental, that's so mind-blowing, that's so beyond the pale of human experience, that it's very, very difficult for you to even think in this frame of reference. What is it? You remember? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Where are you in that equation? You are the Son. You are the Word. Just as nothing that has ever been experienced or accomplished in time and space, it has always proceeded from thought to word to deed. So in us, in the cosmic sense, the Father is the thought. We, as we become as he is, are the Word, and the Holy Spirit is the deed. You never once have to worry about accomplishing it. You only have to think in terms of seeing. That's your only job as the Word. Your only job as the Word is to see. Once you see, then the two witnesses are together, and the Holy Spirit has to accomplish. The Spirit is God's agency of work or of deed. That's why I get so bent out of shape of you when you don't understand that what entering into the rest means, totally. But now let's look and try to see what it is that we are supposed to see. And what it is that is the greater works than these shall you do. Any hints? Did you believe it? Greater works than these shall you do? I mean, can you at least accept that he said that?
Oh, yeah.
I just can't imagine it.
He was saying it to his mother.
It's hard to see.
Yeah. Is it possible for you to believe that you know all things? Does that spark any kind of a...
Yeah. Yeah, that... It's like things happen all the time that you know.
Well, now, let's put it another way. Is it possible for you to believe that you understand all things?
Sure, because now people say things, you see it on the TV or
yeah.
some commercial or something, and you go, no, you're wrong, so therefore that must mean you know something that's...
You know exactly. You see what exactly.
Is anything anybody could come along and say to me that I wouldn't have? Said, no, that's not right. Or that's right. I don't know whether it was or it wasn't. Except maybe you. I was kidding you. The rest of the
world. What?
So, except for maybe you. The rest of the world, no chance.
It's only delicious.
There's a division, too, between knowing and doing. I mean, greater things than usually you do is different from knowing. You know, my mind, doing and knowing are two different things.
All right. We gotta deal with that one because that's a big. Go to James 1.
Okay.
We need a ruling on something.
No, we don't need any ruling.
I'm more ready with rulings.
I'll leave you.
Call.
James is just after Hebrews and just a little bit before Revelation.
Page 1255 for those of you with the green Gideon Bibles. Yeah.
This is an old one.
So does he. What, he's got an old one too. What page?
1077.
Yeah. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers. The word. Did you find it? Here. Be ye doers of the word. Now, you gotta get this into your head that you can't any longer separate you from the word. You are the living word. You got it? You are Torah made flesh. That's your heritage, your function, your raison d'etre. I can never pronounce that right.
Raison d'etre.
Yeah, that
you're
one.
You're raison d'eat.
Raison d'etre. I never could do French. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Thus far, your entire life has been that. You have beheld yourself in a glass, in every place you looked. What does this mean to me? How does this affect me? And you beheld everything in that relationship, and you straight away, and you get these grand ideas and great thoughts, and pretty soon you walk away, and you, oh shit, you're back. You hear some wild stuff in here, and 5 minutes later you go outside, and you're back at each other's throats. Or 10,000 other things. You understand? A hearer of the word only is one that beholds his natural face in a glass. Now, the scriptures in other places is called, especially you do it in here, you behold your natural face in a glass. That's what most of you were doing before you came here when you read the Bible. If you ever read the Bible. Okay, now watch. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. To be a doer, you just have to look. You understand? Because in the economy of God, what you hear, that's why I'm here. My only function to hear is to circumcise your little ears. What you hear is what you see is what you'll do. Automatically. I've said that so many times it's become a cliche, but you still don't believe it. Okay, Isaiah 65. Verse 13, he's comparing submission with rebellion, all right? And he's saying, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you, the rebellious, shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days, etc., etc., etc.
What does that mean?
And you'll accomplish your purpose. But let's go to Isaiah 21. I mean, Revelation 21.
Jump all over the place.
It's 20, verse 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with or in men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And they shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, go on over to 21:22. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the people. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Each of you shall be the instruments of the word of the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. When you see with the Father the thought, you become the word, and it's spoken, it shall be accomplished by the Holy Spirit. You understand why you're necessary and why greater than these things shall you do? The greater creation is the new heaven and the new earth, where there's no death, no tears, no crying, no curse, no tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the tree of life. And God needs the word in you to be in agreement with your mind for that to be accomplished. You must see what his thought is. As you see what his thought is, then that which the two of you are in agreement of shall be accomplished. And that's the greater thing that Christ said we would do, if you believe on him.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you think of it, the only other way you can think of it is the greater thing is we'll get bigger churches. We'll save more people, we'll feed more people. But what use would that be?
That's why you must begin to inherit your inheritance. You must see why you are here. You must see that you are the word that has been sent forth from before the foundation of the world, and it shall not return unto him void. If you're having difficulty believing this and appreciating it, you're not in no different than Christ was. For in his silent years, from 12 to 30, he had to endure all of the testings that you're having in this arena. Well, from his birth to his 30. Until he finally saw there was no separation, and that he learned obedience or hearing under by the things that he suffered. This is why we can glory in tribulation. This is why we can say to the world, the devil and the flesh, take your best shot, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This is why I can say to you, open your eyes and see the chariots and horses of God and the fire surrounding you, that nothing can touch you. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. But every weapon that is formed against you, you shall destroy. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, whose righteousness is in me, saith the Lord. When you stop searching and seeking your own righteousness and all of these things, then you truly believe on him. Greater works than these shall you do. But God, I mean, I keep telling you all over and over and over that this is the capital of the universe. What we do here affects the entire universe. And what's happening in the universe only exists so that you see. All, go to 1 Corinthians 4. You never believe me when I say that. It sounds like I'm storytelling. 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He hath taken the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ. And Christ is God. It's no more, it's time has passed that you be tossed to and fro by all the little crap in the world. You have greater things in front of you. It doesn't matter how big. It doesn't matter how many. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now consider these things carefully, and you'll find all of the chaff in your life melt away as though it were nothing. Greater works than these shall you do. Do by seeing. Once you see, and the Holy Spirit is bound by the Father to accomplish what you see. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody understand a little bit? See, you've been with him from the beginning in the garden. You were the Pharaoh. It was the tree of life. I mean, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But now, you're the tree of life. You were the Pharaoh that wouldn't let the people go. But now you're the tree of life. 12 manner of fruit to feed the nations. You see, there's no more need for the sun or the moon or the stars. You see the river of living waters. You don't have to play these stupid little games of religion and just speak it into existence. Think on these things. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, I do. When you were saying that God needs us, I just sort of penetrated me. And I was, you said the other night to Stealth Group that I need you. And I went home and I thought, how does all he need me? And I thought, well, and I prayed.
Well, I'm just a little, teeny little picture of this mystery. I need you to know what I know so that there isn't... I'm not a teacher anymore. I don't be a fucking teacher. Never wanted to be a teacher. And when you know what I know, then I'll call you friends. The same thing that Jesus did with the disciples. He said, I no longer call you servants, but friends, for I've told you all things that I've received from my Father.
And that's why it's necessary.
Yeah, because from God's standpoint, God didn't want a bunch of little psychophants. He wants fellowship. Pretty neat stuff.
They get one.
What?
Like you said, go and think on these things.
Take it, big guy.